Talking today with Michael Kelsey from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, fall gatherings, you're in the middle of them right now from around the Sand Hill, which you've already had three of them, right. One more to go. Tell me about this year's events. What's the mood out there in the country?
It's really pretty good. Obviously, a little cautious because of the volatility of the cattle market. Again, although trend line cattle are still selling well, but they just have softened quite a bit. Especially the bulls. I tell you what, fall bull market has really softened a bit, and it's kind of somewhat surprising. So we're picking up a little bit of that, but still, overall, it's really cool, Ron, because there's a lot of optimism in the beef industry. A lot of optimism regarding what we're doing, positioning ourselves. Obviously, grain. Statewide, we're in a better shape than we've been in a long time, although there certainly are patches here and there. Mm-hmm. But still, just the concepts and the mood that we've seen at our fall gatherings has been very positive, which is really good.
I go, a year ago, we were at 65-66%, yeah. Some form of drought, now 15-16%. That makes a lot of difference.
It makes a huge difference. To put it into perspective, a year ago when we were at fall gatherings, we had producers talking about, if we don't get rain, the heffers that I had that I weaned this fall, obviously that this time last year, I'm going to have to sell. I'm not going to be able to keep them. We're not hearing that at all. Now, hay is abundant because we had such a great hay season this past year for the most part all over the state. So we're not hearing any of that. In fact, we're hearing, man, I'm looking forward to calving season next year. I'm looking forward to when these heifers come into production. And so completely different mood in that sense, and that makes a big difference, you bet.
Building the cow herd, in other words.
Exactly, right. Building the overall cow herd in Oklahoma, and that gives some opportunity. Individually, we've had a lot of young people come into our fall gatherings, sons and daughters that are inheriting or looking at inheriting, and you see some optimism and some gleam in their eye, if you will, and that's been very encouraging. So we're just tickled to see that.
You always had the opportunity to talk with the producers that come into these meetings, right. and other events that you're involved with as well. But you have a chance to talk about some of the issues. I know a couple of things, state level, very top of mind. State beef checkoff is one. You're trying to get those signatures to be able to go forward with a vote.
That's right. We're in the process of that petition part. We're a two-step process in Oklahoma. We have to have a petition, and then if we get the appropriate number of signatures, then we have the referendum. So we're in that step one of that petition process. We think we're about a third of the way done. The reason I say we think is because OCA is not the only organization collecting signatures. There's some others doing it too. And so we haven't pooled our resources yet. We're going to do that in December. But we've had great success and really a very generous and kind of receiving, if you will, from producers. A lot of producers have told us, it's time. We do need to increase the resources we have to promote our product. The way we've set this up, it would be an additional dollar. That dollar would be wholly refunded. So if a producer doesn't like the strategies, just doesn't support it, whatever the case may be, they can get a full refund request on that. As additionally, that entire dollar is controlled by the Oklahoma Beef Council. So they could use that entire dollar on strategies that may be domestic strategies here in Oklahoma, as well as across the United States, and of course, foreign marketing strategies in Japan, Korea, etc. So they would have full control of that. And we've had a lot of optimism over that, a lot of appreciation that it's more controlled by Oklahomans than it is to some entity somewhere else. And so we've had a very positive reception. We're going to continue to gather those signatures, and we'd like to get that done by the end of December if possible. Every cattleman meeting across the state, we try to have somebody there to be collecting signatures, answering questions. Mm-hmm. If we're successful in getting that done, then we can have a referendum. We're shooting for middle of April, 1st of May. We'd like to get that done before wheat harvest kicks in big and before summertime activities and those types of things. And that's our goal, and we're going to continue to push forward for it.
The other state issue I know that you're talking a lot about right now is starting to really organize folks for State Question 777. And this is, we know very well, we're going to have opposition now. And they're starting to come together a little bit. And so the groundwork we're doing now is pretty important.
It's fundamental. And that's the other big issue that we're talking when we meet with cattlemen, not only at our fall gatherings, but even at our county meetings. And again, Ron, another very positive reception. It's interesting because there is an education educational component. A lot of our own cattlemen just say, well, don't I already have the constitutional right to farm and ranch? And so when we talk about the logistics of that, there's, oh, my goodness, we better protect this. This is vitally important for us to continue to do what we do, plus the stewardship responsibility that we have to produce food. That's fundamental, and that is really something that our producers are getting around and saying, look, I want the ability to produce food and to do it economically, to do it so it's efficient, to do it so it protects the environment, it stewards the resources. Don't have the government telling me how to do it, and that's why this is important. So this is, we've had great reception on that as well. We've kicked it into full gear on the rural side. We're putting bumper stickers on anything that'll stand still long enough for us to stick it on there, even the feed trucks, if you will. So, but we're having a lot of good success in talking about that, organizing cattlemen to open up their checkbooks, write some dollars for those fund, that YES fund, if you will, and so forth. So it's been a good topic.
Let's talk about some of the federal things going on. I know there's a whole host of things that are just kind of hanging out there right now.
Yeah.
Kind of front of mind, maybe waters of the U.S. We're still, you know, right now I guess we're at the court level as much as anything.
Yeah, that's the 6th District Court out of Cincinnati, I believe, is the one that stayed it for the whole country, which is very much appreciative. Obviously, we have no bones about this, that EPA is going to appeal this all the way to the Supreme Court. So that anticipation is there, and we're going to continue to watch that and encourage and drive that, if you will, to defend on that front. At the same time, we're working on the congressional fund as well. And we're so fortunate in Oklahoma to have some leadership in Congress on both sides, the House and the Senate, who get it, who understand. And in fact, they're with us so much so because they understand agriculture and the importance of it. But not only the agriculture, industry, manufacturing, housing, and even just private personal property rights. And so Senator Inhofe, Senator Langford over on the Senate side, as well as Representative Lucas and Mullins and Cole and Bridenstine and Russell, all of them get it and they understand and they're with us moving towards trying a congressional fix. Now, obviously, that's a little harder because you have to get it through the White House at the end of the day. But still, we're very optimistic on that side, whether it be an actual language that forces EPA to go back or push come to shove, pull on those purse strings to defund EPA in that sense.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that has kind of been an annual, I guess almost an annual right of the end of the year has been waiting on Congress to do something about these tax extenders, which affects how somebody may buy some equipment at the tail end of the year, the Section 179 depreciation.
Yeah, it's a very important issue, and it looks like we're going to go down to the end of the year again this year like we did last year. NCBA has made this a top priority. We've communicated this to our congressional delegation. Again, that's an easy discussion with them because they get it. They understand. But you're exactly right. In January 1 of 2015, those tax rules regarding Section 179 and accelerated depreciation and so forth reverted back to the old 40s or something like that, where the levels are at $25,000 and you can't take accelerated depreciation and so forth. That really puts a challenge on agriculture, especially when you have good cattle prices and you need to make some decisions and you have the opportunity to make some decisions regarding equipment purchases or new cow purchases coming off a drought, mm-hmm. those types of things. It's just, boy, it would be so advantageous if we knew what the rules were going to be. But I'm just afraid, again, we're going to go down to the end of the line. I'm optimistic. I am. But I don't want to get too optimistic and encourage folks to go out and make some decisions based on that.
Right.
And that's what makes this so volatile. So we'll continue to work hard, and hopefully we can speed this up. But it's going to be a challenge.